This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Start today the Torah Way in Northwest London, Tuesday, 5th of Elul, 22nd of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golke Shlita, Parsha Thoughts. This week's Torah Way is sponsored Lichvod Simchas Havar Mitzvah of Shlomi Spitzer and Yossi Emanuel. Last Shabbos Parsha Shoting, he rotsen shizku horeim, v'zik mehem, v'rub nachas mehem, v'mikol yitzei cholotehem. And today she is also sponsored le'ilu nishmas, Reb Shlomo ben Yehoram Menachem. The late Mr. Shlomo Gallendau is a long-standing member of Torah Way. The Yahrzeit is today, 5th of Elul.
Okay, good morning, it's nice to be back in Torah Way. The shir is also on Torah Anytime. And feel free to follow, to share. Three ideas from this week's parsha. There's a handout going around, and if you're listening online, email me at j.golk@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Three ideas on Parshas Ki Tzetzeh. Parshas Ki Tzetzeh begins with a continuation of a discussion about war. Ki Tzetzeh l'melchoma al oyvecha. And really, this is a continuation of a theme that is picked up on in last week's parsha, Parshas Shoftim, where we talk about the Meshuach Milchama. He goes out, and before the battle, he gives the sort of the pep talk to the army, to the soldiers, and we talk about Hashchos HaSilonos, the lav, the Issa, not to cut down any fruit-bearing tree. And then you move on to this week's Edra, Kisei Salam Milchama with the Fas Toya. But what's curious is that before we move on to the continuation of Milchama, you have the story of Egla Arufa, which seems to be sandwiched in the middle of episodes of Milchoma, war. What has that got to do with Milchoma? That's the first question. In other words, the introduction to this week's parsha is Egla Arufa, the very end of last week's Sedra. Egla Arufa is, of course, where you have a person who's killed, no one knows who killed him, and there's a whole sequence of events that the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, have got to get involved, and the whole procedure. But why is that the introduction to this week's Sedra? And question number two, we know in last week's Parsha, when we talk about Milchama, the Meshuach Milchama stands up, and he gives various exceptions to people who go to battle. They can actually go home. So one of them is someone who just got married, we built a new house, or he built a vineyard. Now these are somewhat curious exceptions. I don't know if any of you have ever been summoned for a jury service. But if you reply and say, I just built a vineyard, and I would like to just enjoy my grapes and my wine, I don't think it's going to get you off. So what is that about? Why is that an exception? And a third question, which I've always been troubled by, which I think, Baruch Hashem, I think I have an answer to now, is we know what the exceptions are. So why bring them to the battleground, to the border, and the Meshuach Milchama stands up and says, right, anyone who is scared, anyone who has built a house, anyone who's built a vineyard, anyone who just got married, you can go home. And why trouble them to go there in the first place and then send them home? Just give them the patur from day one. So I once heard an answer, I forget where I saw this, but I think it's a very beautiful answer. When the Torah talks about war, war is a very painful, sad, sometimes necessary parsha, topic in life, a reality of life. But the danger of war is that we lose appreciation for human life. Life is devalued. Blood is, if you like, cheap. And the danger of, therefore, we're encountering, that Meshuach Milchama will have to sort of address, is to negate the negative consequence of war. And he has to, therefore, explain that human life is very important. And therefore, the Torah takes the parsha of Egla Arufa and thrusts it in the middle of Milchama, because the whole theme, if you like, of Egla Arufa is the value of human life. You've got one person who wasn't cared enough about enough. People didn't escort him. He was an anonymous person. He was a person who just sort of was wandering around. Nebuchadnezzar's been killed. We don't know who killed him. The way to counteract that is to make a whole procedure that the whole base in the Sanhedrin come along and we say that we value human life. And that is important for the soldiers to hear before they go out to battle. And therefore the Mashiach Nechama, he brings the people to battle and he says to them, human life is important. Life is not about fighting and killing. That's a sad, sometimes necessary evil of this world. But really what life is about, it's about building and having families and planting and developing and being a productive member to society. And therefore the Mashiach Nechama brings these people there. He reminds everyone about the importance of human life because that's one of the dangers of war. And then he sends them home, but that makes an impression. You schlep them there, and then you schlep them back again. To teach us that this is really what life is about. Life is about building families, about building the homes, about having vineyards, etc. And then we address, unfortunately, the sad evil of war. So therefore, the Mashiach Nechama does that at this junction in the battle. And that's why Egla Arufa is the introduction to this week's Parsha of Kisei Salam Nechama. And that's why we bring them there and then we send them home. And that's why we have these strange exceptions. Because before we go to war, we remind ourselves that Yiddishkeit is about building and not destroying, and that we value people and their contributions, even though there may be a sad occasional need for it. Okay, let's move on to the next idea. The next idea is, of course, Parashas Kisetze is, I think it's got 74 mitzvahs in the Torah. I think it's the most mitzvahs in any single parasha. So there's a lot to talk about. The next theme that I want to talk about is Ben Soira and Moira. The Rashi says, what is the lamdus of Ben Soira and Moira, this wayward child? Rashi says in Zvarim Chafal of Yudches, at the beginning of paragraph 2, or Ben Soira and Moira neherag al shem sofo. He's killed because of his end. Right now, he hasn't done anything wrong. But al shem sofo, hegia Torah l'sof daito, the Torah understands the eventuality of this person. Sof shemechale mamon obiv, eventually he'll dissipate his parents' money. U'mavakish limudoi, and he'll need to feed his habit, ve'ena maitse, and he can't afford to eat the meat and drink the wine that's been he's been used to. Va'omid v'pashas derochim, and he'll stand on the highway, and melas demes abrias, and become a highway robber. Omra teira yom zakai va'al yom chayev. He should rather die innocent than not die chayev, because who knows where this is going to lead to. That's the famous Rashi with Ben Soira and Moira. The famous kasha everyone asks is Yishmael. Why? Because if you look in the second box, in paragraph 2, Vayishma nekim es kal hanar, ki shoma nekim el kal hanar, ba'asher husham. What's pshat ba'asher husham? Says Rashi, ba'asher husham, lefi maisim shil oise achshav hu nidoi. We judge Yishmael right now, ba'asher husham. You're right. The osid lava is going to be terrible. But ba'asher husham, right now, below lefi mashu osid las, is not but what he's going to do in the future, but we judge him ba'asher husham as he is now. Lefi shoyim malochi asharis, says Rashi, the malochim were makatrugim va'omri ribbono shelam. The malochim came to the ribbono shelam and said, Misha osid zara lahomis bonecha b'tzoma. This Yishmael's children, his descendants, are going to kill Klal Yisrael in a very, very vicious way. Atamala lo be'er, you're going to provide him water. This is midah keneged midah. V'hu meishivam achshav mahu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies to the Malach Yasharis and says, listen, right now, what is he? Tzadik or Rasha? Omer lo tzadik, he's a tzadik. Omer lo hem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to the Malachim, lefi maisav shel achshav anudonin, we're going to judge him according to his maisim that he is now. V'zeo ba'asher husham. That's pshat in the pasuk ba'asher husham. Right now, he's a tzaddik, he hasn't yet done anything wrong, and therefore, we don't worry about ashen ha'asit. Which is, of course, a flat contradiction to Ben Soira Moira. How do you deal with that? So that's a famous question. The Marsha, in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, he addresses this question. If you take a look at the bottom box, he says, Ben Soira Moira didn't need Hashem Sofai. How come Ben Soira Moira is not treated by Hashem Hashem? So he says, first of all, he points you to the Re'im. The Re'im is Rabbi Yom Mizrahi, one of the foremost commentators on Rashi. And then the Marshal gives his own pshat. The Ben Soira Moira nidan Hashem Sofai, shel atzmai. Very geshmaka answer. The Ben Sora Meira is judged himself. In other words, it's his future. And therefore, Masha ain can be Ishmael, Al Hashem Sofer Shalbonov Le'nidain. The difference, of course, is with Ishmael, it's not him, it's his descendants. So therefore, we don't judge Ishmael on what his descendants are going to do, it's not him, that's the chiluk. And that's very meduic in the Pasuk, because with Ishmael it says, Ba'asher Husha, where he is, not his descendants. Okay, I saw a different answer in the names of Yisrael Salanta, which I think has got a very powerful Musa lesson. If you take a look at the top of the next page, this I saw, and there's a sefer, a lovely sefer called the Sitra Elyon, which brings together some Musa ideas on each parasha, and he quotes Yisrael Salanta regarding this question. If you take a look at the top of the next page, V'kvar omad al maducha zu hagon Yisrael misalant zeich etzadi v'kodesh levroch. The omno ein donim es ha'od men alfim atzal v'boyis ha'shor. You judge a person according to what he is now, not in the future. When is that true? When the current behavior, that the matzav now is not going to dictate what is going to be in the future. He's an empty, impetuous young man. He's already stealing meat, the shaysa yain, and he's becoming a bit of an alcoholic. His actions now, he's sort of set on a pathway which is going to lead to this. The Yom HaShchayet. It's not a question of this is what's going to be in the future. It's a pathway that is on right now. Ella says, Ella zed din shel Eisa Shah. It's a current issue. Shekvah hishchis darke el horetz. He's already sort of set in his ways. For who nidain ba Eisa Shah, shem sofei she'omid me'achshav loivir l'achazman. It's not a question about what's going to be in the future. With Yishmael, there was no simon right now that this is what's going to be. True. But that maybe that was a slightly later point, maybe. Was it?
No.
Why?
Well,
sorry,
chunked out already.
Ah, because he was chunked out. True. Maybe, but then, okay, true. It's good kasha. I don't know the answer to that. It's good kasha.
Also, the kasha himself, according to this gift of Spolish Hashiva, that at this point is guaranteed he can't change.
If you're really on a pathway which is going to lead to these things, yeah, but it's not, the point is, it's not Hashem Ha'osit. In other words, he's doing something right now which is leading to it. That's the point. That's a separate parasha. The Sefarno says, if I'm not mistaken, it says Leishomer lekoil oviv lekoil imay. It doesn't say lekoil oviv imay. And then the heart of the Sefarno makes is a very important parenting point, that the voice of the father and the voice of the mother are not consistent. He's getting mixed messages. So maybe there is culpability in the parents, maybe. But take a look at the next paragraph. It says with Yisrael Salanta, Olufize, Yeshli Hespoine in Harber, She'odom Omeid Berosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. We're now at Elul, right? So I saw last night the Levana is getting bigger. Mr. Moshe Shabbos will do Kiddush Levana. Yeah, B'Kesel Yom Chageinu. Yeshli Hespoine in Harber, She'odom Omeid Berosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. We're now getting close to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Obeitech Ba'atzmei She'yotze Zakai B'dinu. A person is confident that he'll come away Zakai in his din. Mitam Bashel Shom, because right now I'm a person is Zakai. Avli Soit Hakonu Bishrom Misalant. Tzorich Livdek Harbe in Bolide Mida Kazu Shetvielu Maise Gorua. A person's got to think very carefully. Am I right now on a pathway which could lead me to do things which are not appropriate? She is Chayev Ba'ina Shezishu, whatever it may be. Va'ozle is Hashvu Eis Itway Bashel Shom B'Maisa. So it's not true to say Bashel Shom. Whenever a person is engaged, even albeit in a very minor way, but is on a certain pathway, when you go to the airport, you're on that conveyor belt, yeah? Once you're on it, you're going to end up there. So that's what you'll be careful about. It's as if you're doing it right now. Okay, to say that second idea. The third idea I came across, just the concept in Rabbi Franz Sefer, one of his svarim, and I want to develop it because I think it's a very, very interesting idea. The parsha, amidst all the various mitzvahs in the parsha, you have the sugya of kli geva alisha, that a man can't wear women's clothes, a woman can't wear men's clothes. It says the pasuk in the Dvarim Chaf Beis pasuk Hey, lo yich kli geva alisha, that a woman can't wear big day ish, but lo yilbash geva simlas ish and vice versa. Ki tov as Hashem lokecha kol yisaela. Now, there is a parsha in Shoftim which makes reference to this issa. How so? Look at this. In Shoftim, we talk about Yael. Tavoirach minoshim Yael eishes chover hakini. Minoshim ba'el tavoirach. She's lauded very lavishly that Yael saves the day. Sisera is the general of the Canaanite army and he's running away from battle. And Yael sees him, and she brings him into the tent, and she gives him to drink, and he gets very tired, and he lies down, and he goes to sleep. And famously, she says the pasuk in Shoftim, she takes the tent peg and she kills him. If you look at the next box, Yoda leyoseid teshalchena, v'yemina lahamus amelim, she stretched out her hand to this tent peg, and with her right hand she struck the person who was weary. She struck Sisera and she pierced his head, and she penetrated his temple. So she killed him. Now, says the Yalkut, it's an amazing Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash says on this pasuk in Shoftim, what is it? Zeu she'omar hakos of yodeh ha'shilcho ba'kisho. On Friday night we say Eishes Chaya, the last kapitel in Lamed Aleph of Mishnah. The last chapter of Yodeh Shilcha Bakishar, Zu Ya'el. That is a reference to Ya'el. She took this stick, this piece of wood, Sheloi Hargosu Bakizayin, Elabiyeset. Why didn't she take Sisera's sword? Take his sword, much easier. A tent peg is pretty messy. I mean, take the sword and kill him with a sword. Dichsiv Yodal Yeset to Shalchena. Why did she take the tent peg? Why didn't she kill him with a sword, with his own weapon? It's a kiyum of that she didn't want to be over a posuk in this week's Sedra of lo yech ligeva alisha. That she maybe a sword is a male beged, a male Israel. We're going to talk about it, by the way, but that's not for now. But either way, she was worried about it. It may be a violation of lo yech ligeva, and therefore she didn't take his sword. She took a tent peg. Now, just think about it for a second. Imagine she's on WhatsApp, and she's there. He's lying there in a deep sleep, and she does Shiloh text, and she says, "Look, I've got this guy's sword. I've got the enemy of the Jewish people. He's the last guy there. We can end the battle now. Can I take his sword? Is it a Shiloh of Lo Yech Ligeva, of Beged Isha?" I would imagine, I don't know, I would imagine all the respondents on Shiloh text would say, this is not perhaps a Sophic Pikuach Nefesh, this is Vadai Pikuach Nefesh, because who knows what this general is going to remass and etc. Kill the guy, however which way you can. You know, what is the concern? So clearly, it's a Hiddur, it's a Chumra, whatever it may be. But what do you see from here? And there's an interesting take on it. The real barometer of a person is how he behaves under pressure. If under that situation, you're in a tent, you've got the enemy of Klal Yisrael lying there, you're about to kill him, and what's going through your mind, hey, is this a Shiloh Leif Yigev Alisha? That tells you a lot about the person. And the truth is, this really is the story of Klal Yisrael. How so? I'll tell you an interesting thing. Look, the Rashi in Parshas Baleisachal says that Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with building the menorah. The pasuk says, "V'zeh ma'isa ha-menorah." So Rashi says there on the pasuk, it's in the next box, "Sheira Kodesh Baruch Hu be'etzpa l'fisha niskasha bo." Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't quite work out how to build the menorah. It's complicated, and therefore it says, "V'zeh ma'isa ha-menorah." Kodesh Baruch Hu came and showed him. Now that was one of three things that Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with. The Gemara in Menachos Chavtes Amud Aleph says, Shleisha Dvarim HaYukashin Lo Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with three things. Ad Sheher LaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzpo, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to literally show him. Ve'enu Hein. Menorah for Rosh Chodesh v'Shrotzin. Those are the three things. Menorah says Zeh Maisa Menorah. Rosh Chodesh Tichsev HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to show him this is what the Levana looks like. And Shrotzin Tichsev Hazeh Lachem HaTomeh. Now, I once saw an amazing thing. You take the words, these three things, Menorah, Shrotzin, and HaChodesh, the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with, they're Rosh HaTevis, Moshe. Moshe is Menorah, Shrotzim Shin, and Hei HaChodesh. And if you do it backwards as well, the last letters of these three words also spell Moshe. In other words, how you deal with your struggles, that's what really defines you. It's a Meiridic idea. It's a very, very powerful idea. You know, Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky used to say an amazing thing, that there's a Gemara in Chulin which says that if you have a concern, that your animal may be treif. You know, it falls, you're not sure. You know, in the days gone by, you didn't have x-ray machines, MRIs, how are you going to tell? So the Gemara in Chulin says, you take the animal, and you watch it as it walks in the water. Put it in a sort of a low-lying river, and watch it walk upstream, against the flow of the river. If it can walk against the flow of the river, it's a siman that it's kosher. So Dayan Abramsky used to say, amazing, it's the siman kosherus of a Jew generally. Watch him, not when he swims with the river, watch him how he walks against the flow of the river, that is the siman kosherus of a Yid. Amazing. Now, I'll tell you something astonishing. Look at this. This I heard from Rabbi Reisman, I think, in the name of Rav Gifter. An amazing idea. There is a very difficult Mishnah in Kalim. Yes, the Mishnah that we're not so familiar with. It's in Taharas 30 Perakim in Kalim. This is Perak Yud Zayin, Mishnah Yud Gimel. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shebayom Tahar, all animals in the sea, all fish in the sea are Tahar. In other words, if you make a keli out of the skin of a fish, yeah, then that keli is tahor. Chutz mikelav hayam. There's a certain animal, a sea otter, whatever you want to call it. Mipeishu berech le'aboshet divrei Rabbi Akiva. Says the Bar Tanura, explaining that Mishnah. Kol shebayam tahor. Kol b'riyas shebayam. Im osam me'oiron kelim. If you make kelim out of the skin of that animal, ein mekablim tumo. Tichsiv oibeged oir oisak. Na'beged min ha'godl min ha'oretz. Af er ha'godl min ha'oretz. And not min hayam. And therefore, you make a jacket made out of a dolphin skin or whale skin. It's not mekabel tumah. Chutz mekelav hayam, says the Bar Tanura, lefi shekol shabriya shebayam, ein echod mehem boirech ni'aboshel. All other sea creatures, if they're under stress or pressure, they're never going to run away to the dry land and they'll die. Kesheboim lots of those some. If you're trying, if a hunter goes into the water, tries to capture them, they're not going to go onto dry land. Ela kelev hayam bilvad, apart from the sea otter. Therefore it's defined as a land creature. And if therefore you make keli out of the skin of this kelev hayam, this sea otter, then it's in fact mekabel tuma. That's a Mishnah in Keli. V'halocha k'bekiva, and that's indeed the halocha. Asks Rav Gifter, really? The sea otter spends 99% of its time in the water. 1% of its time, when the hunter is running after it, jumps onto dry land. That's what defines it? Says Rav Gifter, exactly. Because how a person behaves under duress is the real barometer of who that person is. Astonishing. That's the idea. And just by the way, this goes to the root of who we are. Famous verb. The Pasuk says when Yaakov Avinu is fighting with the Malach of Esau and they're dueling and they're battling all night and his name is changed. The Pasuk says, "Vayomer lo Yaakov ye'omer uchimcha." You are no longer going to be called Yaakov ki im Yisrael. You're going to be called Yisrael. Why? Ki sariso imelukim v'manoshim v'atuchol, because you fought against angels and men and you overcame them. So hang on a second. So therefore, we're called Yisrael based on this name. Your name is going to be changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. Why? Because you battled, you struggled with an angel, and you overcame him. But that's not the point. The point is Vatuchal. You overcame him. We should not be called Yisrael. We should be called some derivative of Vatuchal. Isn't that the main point? We overcame him. Says whoever it is, I forget who. The Ikka is the struggle. The consequence, the outcome is not your concern. We have to do our best. Well, the outcome is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ikkar is the struggle. What happens in the consequences is not our responsibility. It's not our hands always. Sometimes it's out of our hands. But the Ikkar is the struggle, and therefore the very name Yisrael goes to the root of this concept. The Ikkar is the struggle, not the outcome. Amazing. So what have we got? Three ideas to take away from this week's parasha. Number one, why does Egla Rufa serve as the intro to this parasha? Why is it shipped into the middle of the whole topics of war? Number two, why make the exceptions come to the battleground and then go home? And they're very strange exemptions. Like I said, planting a vineyard is not going to get you off jury service. The answer is because Egla Rufa teaches us the value of human life. The Beis Din, the Sanhedrin get involved to some dead person who people didn't care enough about. So we're telling the soldiers, this, we do care about human life. Don't be desensitized by what you're going to see in battle. That serves as a very important introduction to our war. And that's why we bring them there and we say that Klal Yisrael life is about building, not destroying. We value various people and their contributions, even though there is occasionally a sad need for war. Ben Sura, Murray, the famous Kasha, what about him and Yishmael? The answer of the Marsha, that it's not him. Mashenken, Ben Sura, it's him, etc. And then Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, if you're already on the pathway, that already is not Al-Shem Ha'asit. And then this final idea that's with Yael. Yael takes the tent peg, she didn't want to take the sword, why not? She was worried about the Rech together. The Teretz, how can that be? It's Pikuach Nefesh. You see that the power person who deals with difficult parashas in life, with a stressful episode, is the real barometer of a person. And that's why, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with three things in his life. That goes to the very root of the person. Moshe spells Menorah Shrotzim Achodesh, the first letters, the last letters. And that's Pshat, says Rav Gifter, with the sea otter, an amazing thing. 99% of its time it can be swimming happily in the sea. 1% of the time it goes on to dry land. That defines you. And therefore it has the status of a land animal in terms of Tumah Tahara. And that really goes to the very core of who we are, Klal Yisrael. We're not called the derivative of Atuchal. It's Kisarisim Anoshim, Emelukim Vanoshim, because the struggle is what's important. Very important, very interesting and important idea.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.